Isaiah chapter 40. I want to talk about steps in not fainting. Steps in not fainting. And we're going to start here in Isaiah 40 and 41, and then we're going to wander around the Bible and end up back here again with the conclusion. Isaiah chapter 40. And let's have you stand just to stretch your legs for a moment. Let's read responsively every other verse together, starting at verse 25. I'll read verse 25, and then together we'll read verse 26, and then I'll read verse 27 and so forth through the end of the chapter. So I'll read verse 25 and join me on verse 26. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out of their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right, I'm going to pray and you may be seated, and we'll read some more passages in the next chapter. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. It's an amazing book. It's perfect. It's inspired and inerrant, preserved for us today, and we thank you for it, Lord. And thank you for your spirit that guides us into all truth. And thank you for people who come to church, Lord, and are faithful to your house, Lord. And I pray every person who came today, Lord, I just love all them, and they have so many different situations and so many spots in life they're in, and some are young and some are old, or some are have great heartache and some are doing great. And Lord, we just come to you today, Lord, and ask you to meet every need. We don't know what battles we face, and we don't know what the devil is going to attack us with, but we know that your word gives us answers, Lord. And as we're learning about not fainting and not quitting today, I pray you'd help us to study your word aright, and I pray your spirit would please individually talk to us and help us to understand what your word has for us. And we just give you this service and ask for your power and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. I'm going to go forward to chapter 41, and I want to start at verse 10. And we're talking about not fainting today or quitting. We'll define that a little later. In chapter 41, it says, verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are increased against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thought of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. If you've ever been in a wedding on the platform, you've been hopefully taught how not to faint. How many of you have seen somebody faint in front of a crowd before? How many of you have seen that before? How many of you were ever the person? One or two, a couple of you, two or three? That's embarrassing, isn't it? When you pass out and you don't lock your legs, and you can see it coming too, that it starts, I saw somewhere was a video of the pastor kept fainting, and that's bad. You don't want to pass out at the wrong time. I used to pass out a lot when I'd see blood or dislocations, and as rough as I grew up with the rough kids I was around and the rough as he played, that was fairly often we have dislocations or breaks or blood or something like that. And I had this process where I knew I was going to pass out, and boy, my eyes would start seeing spots, and I would start getting lightheaded and nauseated and sick and woozy, and I couldn't get my breath, and pretty soon I was down for the count, and that's not fun. I got a little bit better with that over time, and it is not a good thing when you are not supposed to faint or pass out when you're about to pass out. I was talking about how that when I was with my son in the hospital 2 weeks ago, I was kind of feeling stomach cramps all day. Then I just got hit with the worst flu. And I mean, I'm talking 1 minute. All of a sudden, I was sitting in the room, and the doctor was talking to me. I said, I gotta get out of here. And I went into the bathroom there, and all of a sudden, I'd never been hit that fast with sickness. And I mean, I was dripping with sweat and nauseated and collapsing. My whole body was tingling. And I thought, they're not going to let me out of here. And I was sick as a dog. And I had to call my wife and say, you got to come here quick. I got to get out of the hospital. I'm sick. Isn't that kind of dumb? And it's called no health insurance. And I can throw up at home and not be charged $600 for the room. And so I went by and told the OSI, I said, I got to leave. And I ran out of the hospital hoping I wouldn't pass out on the way out. Then I thought, how am I going to drive home? You ever try to drive home when you don't know if you're going to stay conscious? Well, I did it for a different reason. Some of you do that. It was because I was sick. I was so out of it. I thought, man, I can't, what am I going to do if I can't drive? Do I pull over the side of the road? Do I just stop in the middle of the road? What do you do? And it's a terrible situation. And in the Bible here, it talks about fainting in a little bit different way, but it talks about quitting and fainting and giving up. And it's even worse when you quit on God. Because a lot of people are saying, where are you? And people who you would have reached in the future are saying, where are you? And people who need you are saying, where are you? And God is saying, where are you? You fainted. You quit. And many times in fainting in the Bible, it's a little bit different. The word in the Hebrew is yawaf, and it means to tire as if by wearisome flight, to be exhausted and to stop and give up. It means like something's chasing you, and you run and run and run, and finally say, I can't run anymore, I give up. And you just exhausted, lay down on the ground. It's kind of what it's like. Like us guys in the football game felt like the other week. But that was only after 30 yards. That's what it is. It's like, I give up, I can't run anymore. I'm exhausted, I'm laying down, I'm just going to give up, I'm too exhausted to do anything else, and you quit. And that's strange, because God talks to Israel about not doing that. And interesting enough, all throughout the Bible, he talks to Christians about not doing that. Not getting so exhausted, not getting so miserable, not getting so tired that you quit. See, serving God is a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. It's a joy, and it's an abundant life, and it's awesome. But it can also be tiring. It can also be exhausting. It can also be a real battle that wears you out. Because you know what? If you're not fighting the devil, life's a little more relaxing, because you're just going along with him. And you're not fighting against the world. You're not swimming upstream. You're like acting like the world, doing what's natural to you. You're not fighting your own flesh. And you know, there's a lot of things that you do when you're fighting. Now, God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus will give you the strength you need, and it's a way better life. But sometimes people who make some mistakes and don't do what the Bible says, not to faint, faint. Because if you don't take the right steps, you lay down exhausted and say, I quit, I give up. I can't make it anymore. And I don't want anybody to do that, and I don't want to do that, And if you stay and do the right things, you won't have to do that. You'll be strong and in a spiritual realm, healthy and serving God and be able to go on. But otherwise, you get weary in well-doing if you're not careful. Many people quit because they get weary. Many people quit because they get weary. There are many Bible steps to not faint when you are faint and when you're tired, when you're weary. And there's many biblical steps. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to give you just a few of them real quickly, but I want to spend time. We're going to come back to Isaiah 40 and 41 here a little bit later to tell you the biggest ones I want to focus on today. But I'm going to give you just a few of them in the Bible, because the Bible talks a lot about this and not getting so tired that you quit. And the first one is believe that God's blessings are coming if we don't quit. Believe that God's blessings are coming if we don't quit. Let's go to Psalms. Remember, we're going to be back in Isaiah a lot at the end of the message, but Psalms, Psalms before Isaiah. Psalms in chapter 27. And again, I'm not preaching mainly on this. I'm going to go quickly through the Bible and tell you about biblical ways not to faint from serving God. How many of you ever get just weary in life? Raise your hand. If there's nobody raising your hand, can I give you some stuff of mine so you can be weary? I'll trade you some wearisome stuff. There is so much in life. I can't tell you, life is awesome when you're busy for God. There's a lot to do. I mean, yes, there's a job, and yes, there's the family, and there's lots of things that are important. All those are good and great and wonderful things, but there's a lot to do for God. I just think of how many things this week there were to do, and you know what's exciting? I didn't get all of them done. And you know what's exciting about that? I still have something to do next week. There is nothing more miserable in the world than having nothing to do. Man, I could not do nothing. I can do nothing for a little while, and I think that's okay. One day a week, Bible says take a day off, rest, that's fine. I do that on Monday, try to, that's fine. And vacations are good. I like vacations. We're going to try to take one in May and in August. From May to August? No, I wish. But we're going to take a couple vacations. We're going to try to. And it's okay to do nothing sometimes. I like to read and do nothing sometimes, or play a video game, or wrestle with the kids, or do something that's nothing. That's brain dead. Doesn't take anything to beat up my kids. But my kids are tough, aren't they? It's like their daddy. I like to do nothing sometimes. But you know what? After a while, you get weird. You get miserable and grumpy. Your back starts hurting. You get fat. Everything bad happens. Everybody irritates you. Stay busy, folks. Life's full and rich. There's a lot to do out there. A lot of people to help. A lot of good things in life. And if you don't want to faint on God as we're going through these steps, one of the things is believe that God's blessings are coming if you don't quit. Psalms 27, verse 13. It says, I had fainted. There's that word. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then there's a phrase, wait on the Lord, as we saw in Isaiah 40. Can I say this? As a pastor, as a Christian, as you trying to do anything for God and working in life, heaven's awesome, and looking forward to heaven's awesome, but there are times you need to see God's blessing on earth. I mean, if God told me you're going to work your whole life and never see a single blessing from it, I don't know if I could keep on going. I ought to love Jesus enough, and I ought to want to give God glory enough that I'd live my whole life like that. But you know what? I don't know if I'm that spiritual. When I started this church, we saw no results, no results, no results, nothing, nothing, nothing. But you know what? I believed he would someday. And so I was able to keep on going. You need to believe that God is going to bless you, because God says, if you do good, you will reap in due season if you faint not. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he says, he will reap in due season, in the right time, if he faints not. Over there at that tree is the great blessing. When I get to the tree, I've got to believe that somewhere along the way, though I don't know where the tree is, the blessing is coming here on earth. See, because Jesus said, I come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. If you keep my word and follow it and meditate there in day and night, God will prosper you and bless you, and he'll bless your life. And you know what? I've been rewarded on earth for serving God. I do get joy. I do get peace. I do have a great family. I do have good health. I've been blessed in many ways, and not all those things are going to happen to everybody, but I've been blessed with spiritual children and people I've won to Christ who are serving God and doing things for God, and many of you who are doing great things and serving the Lord and doing great that I personally won you to Christ. And I see those things, and it's a blessing, but I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when my next convert's going to turn out for God, but I believe one will. I don't know if anybody's going to listen to me, stay awake, hate my guts, or anything. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe if I stay faithful to preach God's word in the land of the living, I will see God's blessing. I don't know when. I don't know how, but that tree is there, and this tree is all the blessings you want. It's the happy family. It's the spiritual blessings. It's the joy and the peace. It's the life turned around. It's the people you want saved, or whatever the blessings you want are. You don't know when that's going to happen, but you will quit if you don't think it's going to happen. You've got to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God says in the land of the living, you will reap in due season if you don't quit. But many people say, you know what, I want blessed. You know what, I'm not getting blessed, I quit. Wait for God's due season. You're like a person who walks out and says, okay, I want some corn. All right, plant a seed, plant a seed, plant a seed, plant a seed, Plant seed. Okay. Come on, I planted your seed. Let's go. Come on. Good night, it's been 45 seconds. Stupid seed. I quit. Corn doesn't grow in a day. For some of us, it never grows. But it doesn't grow in a day. In due season. It comes around August or September or whenever it comes. June, July. You pick it at the end of summer, and you get the corn. Things don't happen in an instant. Don't say, I've been going to church for 3 months and God isn't blessing me yet. Listen, you took 8 months to mess. You took 18 years to mess everything up. It took 20 years to make a mess out of your life. Don't expect everything to be perfect. Don't expect everything in your family. Don't expect it. Listen, you took 10 years to get yourself $30,000 in debt, and God hasn't got you out in 2 months. You weren't a good parent. You weren't a good child. You weren't a good employee for all that time, and all of a sudden you're serving God for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden everything's not better yet. Remember, you do not microwave yourself out of what you crockpotted yourself into. In due season. You got to believe God's going to bless you, because God promises you in due season, if you do good, you will reap, but you faint not. God has got rewards for you. You've got to keep going. If you quit, it will not happen. And you've got to believe that God's going to do it, or you'll lose faith. You have to keep on going to reap. You have to keep on going. Number two, you go turn forward to Proverbs. Again, I'm just giving you a few ways not to faint. One, believe that God will reward you. Otherwise, you quit. I had fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Number two, be strong. Number two, be strong. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, I'll wait for you to get there. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, endure hardness as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 4, 5 says, endure afflictions. Listen to me. You cannot be a wimp and serve God. You cannot. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. Tough things are going to happen to you in life. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. Life is tough. It's just tough. Well, you know what? It's real hard out there right now. What am I going to do? Tough it out. Finances are real tough right now. What am I going to do? Tough it out. My health isn't so good right now. What am I going to do? Tough it out. Pastor, that didn't sound very spiritual. That's what it says. It says, endure afflictions. Some days you're going to go through life and you get popped right in the nose. And you say, well, somebody says, it's not fair. I'm a victim. Life's so tough. I give up. Government, come bail me out. And some people will say, ouch, I'm hitting you back. And that's what you do in life. Not literally. Pastor told me I can go punch some. I got the person in mind. Pastor said I could. No, that's not what I meant. Life punches you in the nose. That's right. Take it out of context. Be like we talk about in Sunday school. You know what? You got to be tough in life. Have some hard knocks. Have some health issues. Have some family problems. Have some financial problems. Have some issues in life. Have some people who don't like you. Have some problems in your apartments. Have some problems with your neighbors. Life is tough. And you endure afflictions. Amen. You just be tough in life. You get up in the morning and say, I don't feel like getting up. You know how often I feel like getting up in the morning? It is not a getting out of bed. It's a resurrection. It is. I don't like getting up in the morning. There's a lot of things in life that are tough. Hey, listen, spanking your kids is tough. It's tough to go and read your Bible. It's tough to pray. It's tough to go to church sometimes. Not every Sunday does everybody feel like going to church. It's tough when somebody criticizes you. It's tough to go to work when your back doesn't feel good. It's tough to do things in life. Life is tough. If you're going to faint when things are hard, when the devil's attacking you, when you feel overwhelmed, you're not going to go to church, when you're not going to read your Bible, when you feel down, if you're depressed, you're not going to pray. If you're not going to be tough in life, you're going to quit, because it's going to get tough in life. You are not going to avoid hardship in this life. You've got to be tough through it. And you know what's amazing thing about you and I is? We get really whiny about things that aren't very important. Hey, you know what? Luke has a reason to be depressed today and not be at church. He doesn't know if his son's alive in Haiti. You know what we whine about? You want to share what we whine about? The little things in our life. Stupid car. That little vent heater doesn't sit quite right, and it always goes to the side. You know how little things bother us, ruin your whole day? Stupid coffee maker. Little things we whine about. Be tough in life. Go through life and say, you know what, that hurts, but you know what, I'm going to keep on going. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be tough. My Savior was tough. Talk about tough. You try going and letting somebody crucify you who you could zap at any time you wanted to. He was tough. Let them crucify him. Let them beat him. You know what? It takes toughness to be a good Christian. Number three, remember eternity. 2 Corinthians. Just giving you a few ways not to faint. One, keep believing God's blessings are coming. Two, be strong. Number three, remember eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many may rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He says, you know what? We're not going to faint. We're not going to quit. Why? Because eternity is coming. I'm going to face God. I'm going to give an account for what I've done. I'm going to try to win souls. I'm going to try to do great things for God. I am not going to quit. Our light affliction, verse 7, which is but for a moment. It just lasts a little while. Our light affliction. You know what? Your hardship is not going to last forever, but eternity will. And you will quit if you don't think about eternity. Think about standing in front of God and Him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or Him saying, thou wicked and slothful servant. I'm proud of you, or I'm ashamed of you. Think about getting to heaven and great rewards coming, and rewards will last for billions of years, and here is this, and here is this, and here is this, and your Lord proud of you, and souls in heaven because of you, because you kept on going when it was tough. You kept on going with tears, or I quit because it got tough. I think of Lester Roloff, who had many, many battles and many, many hard times in his life and much despair. And he had a sign, his desk facing the wall, and on that sign it said, never despair, but if you do, work on in despair. So you got to think about eternity and what's going to last for millions of years. He says, look on those things which are not seen, for they are eternal. Keep your mind on eternity. Number four, remember what Jesus went through for you. Forward to the book of Hebrews, toward the end of the Bible there, the book of Hebrews. Remember what Jesus went through for you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Says, for consider him, Jesus, verse 2, looking into Jesus, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, there's that word again, in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know what brings me shame sometimes? And I think, oh man, it is so tough, it's so hard. Oh, poor me. Then I look at the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. You know, you look at that cross, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and blood flow mingled down. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You know what? It is, when I look what Jesus went through for me and my sins, how can I quit on him because I'm sleepy on Sunday morning? How can I quit on him because some family member makes fun of me when he went through all that for me? It's a person that I think about. It's a person you ought to think about. You ought to say, how can I quit on Jesus? It says, consider him lest you be weary and faint. Think about what Jesus went through for you. If he was crucified for you and went through that for you, why can't you tough it out for him? Why can't you keep on going for him? Why can't you endure the hardness for him? Why can't you say, Lord, I know this is hard. I don't feel like taking another step. I don't feel like keeping on going. I don't feel like doing right when those people have been right to me. I don't feel like giving up this thing in my life. Wait a minute. Think about him. How can you give up on him? How can you look at him and say, I'm not going to go through that for you? He says, look what I went through for you. See, when you consider Jesus, how can you possibly quit on him? How can you not do the will of God for your life with what he did for you and for me? Number five, realize the chastening, though it hurts, though tiresome, it helps you. Hebrews chapter 12 again. Realize that chastening, God's discipline and God's spanking. See, God disciplines you in your life. He tries to make you great, and he tries to discipline you and make you great. And so he spanks you, he chastens you, he hits you, he does things. He makes you go through some things in life. And it's to make you better. But you know what? The Bible says you'll quit if you don't realize it's good for you. It says in the same chapter here, Hebrews chapter 12, it says verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourging is what Jesus received when he got whipped in the back. Listen, it says God will put you through hard times if you're his child. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if you without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. It says, you know, God doesn't work with you and discipline you. You're not his child. Listen, it says, lest you be weary and faint, realize that the chastisement of God is for a good purpose. God does it to you for a reason. And verse 7, if you endure it, if you handle and don't quit the chastening of God, God deals with you as with sons. Eventually, God says, let me spank you. Let me straighten you out. Let me fix you on this. Let me whack you around a little bit. Let me smack you around a little bit. And God puts you through hard times and trials and troubles in life, and he gets you straightened out, and it makes you great and makes you strong, just like any parent does their kid. If your kid is not doing right, you say, let me teach you, son. Let me teach you, daughter. Let me teach you. You can't do that. Whack. And he spanks you. And says, let me teach you to be great. Let me not let you be lazy. Let me not you be hopeless and purposeless. And by the way, kids who get no discipline really turn out bad in life. And God disciplines you to make you great and make you into something and train you to not do the things that you and I would do if we didn't get any discipline from God. And God says, if you endure my chastening and not quit in it, you'll become great. So let me do it. See, sometimes God puts you through it and you say, I'm not going to take this anymore. To the God of the universe. God says, man, that's too bad because you're going to be very, very, very pathetic and worthless. Because I can't make anything great out of you. You won't let me. You want flowers of ease when you need some hardness to toughen you up. Like a soldier goes and says, I want to be a Navy SEAL. All right, good. We're sending out the basic training. I don't want to go through anything. I just want the little thing on my shoulder. Well, you got to go through some things and get toughened up. Got to get in shape first before you become a soldier for the cross. And you'll quit if you do not realize that it's for your good. Let God put you through hard times because it'll make something great out of you. Let God deal with you and discipline you and straighten you out because you and I need it. You know how much God had to beat me into shape and beat me into being a good Christian and beat me into out of my bad habits? My parents didn't do it for me, folks. My parents didn't do it for me. God had to do it for me when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And it was tough. God put me through the ringer. So I got to make you into a man. I got to make you strong. I got to make you into something great. And he's still got a ways to go on that. But you know what? The way you usually grow and become great is through God disciplining you. 20 more. God disciplines you. If you do these things, you believe God's blessings are coming if you don't quit. You be strong. You remember eternity. You remember what Jesus did for you. And you realize that God's chastening, his discipline, is, though tiresome, helps you. If you'll do those things, you can usually not quit. However, there comes a time in your life where chastening gets so tough, where the times get so tough, where you're just so weak, and I'm just so weak, all of our methods don't work. And you want to quit anyway. And when that comes, I want to go back to Isaiah because that's the point where Isaiah comes back in. By the way, do those things I just said. If you try to rely on the things I'm going to teach you now, the thing I'm going to teach you now, before you do what you can, it won't work. It's very important you understand that. You've got to do what you can do before you expect God to do something. God's already given you the ability to do a whole bunch of things. If you will not do what God's given you the ability to do, it's called tempting God, trying to get God to do something. I'm going to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and God's going to save me. God said, don't tempt me that way. You stay on the temple side. You don't jump off the side. You just do what you're supposed to do. And do not expect a miracle from God when he's already done a miracle for you. I.e., God provide my needs while I lay there and do nothing. God says, get up and do something. I've given you the ability. I've already provided your needs by giving you the ability. I've already given you money. Don't spend it all. Don't expect God to do something for you he's already done. You can do the things we just said. I'm saying if you've done all the things that you know how to do and you say, Lord, I'm not strong enough. I just can't do it. There's nothing else. I don't have the ability. Then you get to Isaiah chapter 40. And God gives Israel something. See, in Isaiah chapter 40, God is talking to Israel. And Israel is very hopeless because God just told them, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to destroy you. Your nation's going to be a disaster. Everything's going to be terrible. And you've got to keep on going and serving me, because you're going to be destroyed. And they were very discouraged. And so God, in the later chapters of Isaiah, he starts comforting them and telling them, hey, there is hope, and I'm going to comfort you and give you strength, and you're going to be able to do great things for me, and you're going to be able to make it, and you're going to be able to endure it. And if you'll follow me, you will have strength and be able to do great things. And they said, we feel kind of hopeless, and we want to quit. And God says, no, do not quit. God gives them, first of all, in Isaiah chapter 40, some reminders of himself. In verse 20, in chapter 40, in verse 27, it says, why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there searching in his understanding? First of all, God says, I do not get tired. And you know what? I know what's going on. And you say, God hasn't seen what we're going through. Can I say, God knows what you're going through. The devil's going to lie to you. God doesn't understand. Nobody understands. God understands. He never gets tired. He never sleeps. He doesn't wake up and say, oh, what happened last night? God never does that. God looks around and says, I see everything. I know every bird that falls. The hairs of your head are numbered. I know everything about you. I didn't miss anything. I know what you're going through. And you know what? I never get tired, and I'm never weary, and nothing ever gets to me or bothers me or gets me so I can't handle it. And I know everything is happening. Remember, God knows what you're going through. He cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He does not get tired. He's strong enough to hold you up, he reminds us. And we'll get some verses later about that. He says, I am strong enough. What he says, I'll do for you. He says, Israel, I know you're weak. I know you're tired. I know you don't think you can make it. But I will hold you up. There is a time in your life when you don't have the strength, and God must hold you up. What? How does God hold you up? Look at Isaiah chapter 41. God talks about how he holds us up here. It's beautiful in verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says, I will hold you up, he says there in verse 10. I will hold you up. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What a beautiful promise. God will hold your right hand. Chapter 42, he says in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called upon thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I will hold your right hand, God says three times. I will hold you up. I will hold your right hand. When we were in Bible college, we were very, very conservative Bible college. And the boys and the girls were not allowed to touch each other. Unless, luckily, we were in Hammond, Indiana, which is very cold. Unless the girls were dressed like ladies and they wore their shoes, the useless shoes with heels on them, and they're slippery on everything. The only way that you could touch your girlfriend or a lady was if they're walking across ice and you could hold your arm out. And she could hold your arm so she wouldn't slip on the ice. And boy, you would be surprised how much ice you could find when you wanted to. There's one. You could find all kinds of ice. It was awesome. Pray for winter. Pray for ice. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. And but you know what? Sometimes my wife be holding my arm, be walking, and you know what? She'd slip. I always wear rubber-soled shoes. I can't wear leather soles or anything. I slide everywhere. And she'd slip, and she'd hold my arm, and I'd hold her up. How was that, honey? And I'd hold her up. You know, it didn't matter how good her balance was. She was holding on to me. Now, if I fell, it wouldn't be pretty. I'll take my kids sometimes, and when they're little, nowadays they're older, who cares? But when they're little and they're slipping around, you hold their hand, and the kid, little girl's legs be slipping everywhere. It doesn't matter. They're holding my hand. I'm holding them up. There's a time in life when you just are not strong enough. And you just say, I can't make it anymore, Lord. I'm just done. I've tried everything I know to do. I'm so weak. I'm so tired, Lord. I need your help. And sometimes you don't feel like going another step. And sometimes you'll get through it and you'll look back like in the footprints in the sand and say, how did I make it through all that? Good night. I made it. And you don't know how you made it. You made it because God held your hand. Sometimes you're not strong enough. But God will hold your hand and God will uphold you and God will give you all that you need. He will give you the strength you need when you don't have the strength. Sometimes you just got to say, God, I am not strong enough. When I was probably 14 years old, we had me and my friend, his name was Jaime. Jaime and I were out in a field way back behind my house, back behind the field. And we're probably a half mile from my house. About a half mile away, and we were making bows and arrows. You know, kids used to do things besides play video games, and we were making bows and arrows, and we had knives. Ooh, isn't that evil? A kid had a knife. Yes, you know, kids didn't used to just kill each other when they had weapons. You know why? This has nothing to do with the message. Can I tell you something? Did you know why? I bought a gun when I was 12 years old, and never took it to school. And you know why? I had a knife and went out in the field making bows and arrows. You know why? I didn't ever go kill anybody. Because I was getting my aggression out by being a boy. Nowadays, kids sit around cooped up all day and they get all aggressive and you can't trust your kid with a weapon. Because they don't go out and go play basketball and get elbow in the nose and elbow the kid back and go play football and go wrestle and go chase around and play army and go kick the dog and chase the bird and run around and play army and fight and do all kinds of things that kids are supposed to do. They don't play. They're cooped up all day and they get aggressive. Why? Because males have testosterone. And they got to attack and crawl and play and climb and play king of the hill. Oh, my son, he's on top of the hill. They're going to push him down. Good. Good for him. He's a wimp. You know how wimpy kids are nowadays? They do not get their aggression ever out. Moms, by the way, moms, since the men will never say, honey, he's going to go out and play. Moms, if the husband is going to let you run over them, which you shouldn't, and say, yes, dear, okay, kid, you can't play. If that's not going to happen, moms, you've got to go and say, son, go get dirty. Go play outside. Go climb a tree. I don't get any points for that. Too many video games, too much TV, not enough being a boy and being a kid. We didn't go shoot people because we played. And we were making a bow and arrow, and I had my knife. And yes, I was stupid. All kids are dumb. Part of being a kid. And I was making my arrow, and I was making a new tip on a new arrow because we had this bow and arrow. And yes, we did shoot the arrow straight up and see if it wouldn't come down and hit us and all the stupid things that we do and all the dangerous things. And yes, I'm still alive. Believe it or not. And I was making an arrow and I was doing like this. Trying to cut through the piece of wood and it cut through. My knife's very sharp. You know what I did? Whack! Right there. I got a big old... Look at that big scar right there. That's a scar. A scar! Got 5 stitches from that. But when I looked down, I went whack! And I looked down and there, the skin was open up real wide and I saw my bones sitting there. And then the blood came. And I said, I cut myself bad in these stitches. I got like so many stitches in this hand. And so my friend Jaime and I started walking home. And Jaime was a year older than me. And we started going back. And all of a sudden I started going, ooh. I started getting sick. And him being a 15-year-old, me being a 14-year-old, and him being an expert medic, as I start, my legs start buckling as we're walking home, he says, oh, no, you don't. And he grabs my hair. And we start walking again. By the way, no comments. I know. That's what happened. That is not what happened. That's testosterone, you men with hair. And so he grabbed me by the hair and drugged me along. Picked me up. He says, you aren't gonna pass out. And he picked me up by the hair and drugged me, and I'm thanks. And took me all the way back to the field. Finally, I'm going along. I'm able to walk and stumble home. Go home, Mom, I need stitches again. Again, on that hand again. And you know what? I couldn't have walked, but, well, he didn't hold my hand. But he drugged me. And I made it to the field. You know, God sometimes just has to grab your hand and say, you are going to make this thing. And you know what? If you're intending to keep on following him, he'll do that. If you stop and say, you know what, it's tough, I give up, God. It's not fair, it's too tough. I'm just tired, I give up. I'm not going to go to church anymore, I just need a time off. I'm just going to go do my thing. I'm not going to read a Bible, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm just going to go back to my old drugs or my old habits. I just give up. God's not going to pull you anywhere. You say, God, I need help, I can't make it. I'm going to keep following God. I don't know how, I don't have the strength. God says, let me grab your hand. I'm going to hold your hand and take you along because you don't have the strength to do it. You go to Psalms, our memory verse, Psalm 63. Sometimes you just can't do it. Sometimes you're not strong enough. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. God will hold your right hand and drag you along. Psalm 63. There are some people who need extra strength for one reason, and this is not everybody here, and this is not everybody, but I want to say this. There are some people who are going to need extra strength because they are seeking God aggressively. Many people just take what's given to them. Thank you. I'll eat it. And that's great. If you come to church, you take what's fed to you, awesome. You go to church and you pray and read your Bible, you're a good Christian. I'm excited. I'm glad for you. But there's some of you who get a desire to know God, a real desire to seek after God, to follow and get closer to God than you even know how. I want to know God. I long to know God. My heart is beating to get to know God. And you say, I'm pursuing God. Those are the ones who get really, really, they need a lot of help. Because they're going the extra mile. They're fasting. They're really seeking God. They're weeping. They're praying extra time. They really want to know God. Those ones there get extra help from God. Psalm 63, 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want to know you, God, to see thy power and thy glory. See, everybody kind of says, I want to see God do something. But some of you get something burning inside. You say, I want to see God do something big. And you really start weeping and praying for God and getting close to him. And something's burning in there. And those of you who are going to pursue God and pursue after God, God says, I like that. I'm going to help you. Verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I love it. I'm running after God saying, God, I want you. And God says, keep pursuing me. I want you to get close to me. But you're not fast enough or strong enough to get close to me. But God's going to hold you up. I'm going to drag you along, though, because I want you to be close to me. They that seek me early shall find me when they seek with me with their whole heart. God says, those who really want to seek me, I'm going to give you extra strength and pull you along to get to know me. Those who really want to know God. Now, many Christians just take what is fed to them. That's fine. But you know what? Some people really want to get close to God. And God helps those. Back to Isaiah one more time. And I'll finish up. The thing God had to tell Israel before he told them, I'm going to do a great work, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to help you, was the doubt of Israel saying, this isn't going to happen, this is too hard. I don't see how I can get that strength. I don't see how it can work out. I don't see how our nation can be rebuilt. I don't see how we can get strength. We're a wicked nation, a hopeless nation. And God began the comfort. One of the things he began to do is just tell them, hey, I want you to understand how strong I am and I can do this thing. You might say today, you know, Pastor Brian, we talk about having strength, but you know what? You're stronger than I am. You're healthier than I am. You got more energy or more will than I do. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Some of you might be really, really strong. You just don't know it yet. And some of you might be stronger than me. You know what? And sometimes I'm weak. Can I say this? It doesn't matter how weak you think you are, how big you think your problems are. God's bigger. And God goes to them and he says, I want you to understand just how big I am, the one who's going to hold your hand, the one who's going to take you along when you don't have the strength and when you're discouraged and when everything looks terrible and hopeless and when everything in your life looks like it'll never be good again. I want you to understand the one who's going to hold your hand and the one who has the strength to do this, I'm strong enough to hold your hand. And he says this in Isaiah chapter 40. He says, verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and hath meted out the heaven with a span? Understand that verse there just said. The Bible says God made the earth, and he said, let me see how much water we have. And he went, about that much. Put it in his hand. He's real big. Oh, but you don't understand my problem. He's bigger than your problem. You might be as weak. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how weak one of my children are. It depends on how strong I am, not how weak they are. And then he says, I measure the universe. Understand, we are a solar system. Think how big the world is. You're a fly, how big it is. When I've flown halfway around the world for mission trips, this world's big. Just try driving across America. It's big. It seems huge. Aren't you glad you came to church today to learn that? The world's real big. And then you think of our planet, and then you think, we're just a little planet, and you think of how far away the sun is, and how big the sun is. And remember, that's just a solar system. That's one star. There is 100 billion stars in those galaxies. And there's 100 billion galaxies, and we're just one star. I mean, billions and billions and billions. They took a picture at the Hubble telescope, 12 billion light years one direction. 12 billion light years traveling the speed of light. And they look and they see these huge galaxies out there, billions of light years away. And in this verse right here, it said God measured all of it. You know how he measured it? He measured it with a span. You know what the span is? It's your pinky to your thumb. God said, let me see how big that universe is made was. About that big. That's big. And you look up at that God and say, God, I'm never going to make it. You don't know how big my problem is. And God says, oh, my soul. Your problems aren't so big to God. You take all your biggest problems and you go and get them all in one big ball of trouble and heartache and worry and stress. And you take that giant ball and combine every worry you've had and all the guilt of the past and everything. And you say, oh, God, I'm going to give it all to you. Here it is, God. And a little speck of dust goes, boop. God says, got it handled. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. If you are overwhelmed and you don't think you can handle it, understand your God can. He's real, real, real big. He's strong enough. And he says, I will hold your right hand. I will renew your strength. In verse 31, he says, if you get strength from me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You might be exhausted and fainting. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You tired of walking, tired of running? Let me give you some wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 30 says, even the young people will quit, but you'll keep on going. Amen. Even strong people will quit, but you'll keep on going. You have the ability through God to keep on going and not quit. Are you considering it, though? Fainting. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. You give us many ways not to faint. But thank you in this chapter. You talk about we won't faint because you'll hold our right hand. And Lord, thank you that you have the ability to hold us up no matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is, no matter how the long the street seems we've got to walk down and who it seems like is pursuing us, Father. You have the strength to get us through it, Lord. And we get tired and we get weary, Lord. And you're omnipotent, but we're not, Father. We get tired and weak and weary and overwhelmed very easily. I pray this morning, Lord, you'd help us to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Help us not to faint, because our strength is small. Help us to tough it out and help us to be strong. But overall, Lord, when you've done everything we